Chapter 1. The Storm. Friday, December 11th, 1903. Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. With one hand clutching the collar of his slicker tight under his chin, and the other grasping the handle of an unlit lantern, the lone surfman trudged through the sand in the darkness, leaning ever forward into a downpour, blasted horizontal by the brutal winds of a frigid nor'easter. With each step, he listened for the crash of the waves breaking on the beach to guide him. Veering too far right would put him waist-deep in the roiling surf and at risk of being swept out to sea. Too far left, and the powdery sand of the inner beach, turned into the consistency of wet cement by the rain, would make walking impossible. His storm lantern would have provided the light needed to reveal the hard-packed sand in the area between the two extremes, but its protected wick had long since surrendered to the relentless wind. The storm's arctic cold had replaced the tempered warmth of the outer banks with a freezing rain, turning the 5 miles of Ethan Roberts' watch walk into a soaking, miserable test of endurance. Though the surfman's feet throbbed with icy pain, the fear of frostbite drove his pace. At 28, he was old enough to know the dangers of cold, but too young to admit that it could defeat him. He would do his job to its completion, as expected, the weather be damned. Reaching the northernmost point of his patrol, he reversed direction and headed back to the warmth and shelter of the station of lifesavers that was his home. The wind blew from behind now, pushing him toward his destination. But even though the wide brim of his oilskin hat diverted most of the rain down the back of his slicker, the spray whisked around his head to soak his bearded face. Pausing to wipe the water from his eyes, he searched the darkness ahead for the beacon that stood sentinel beside the station. Every 7.5 seconds, the rotating lens of the Cape Hatteras lighthouse sliced its bright beam through the swirling black rain, beckoning the lifesaver back to where his patrol had begun. But it was too early to have thoughts of warmth and comfort. He still had miles to go, and the rain was turning into a mix of icy water and sleet. Suppressing a cold shudder, the surfman dismissed the circumstances of his misery, grasped the slicker's flaps tight beneath his chin again, and resumed the patrol. Not until he was close enough to see the dim yellow flush of lantern light shining through the station's windows did he allow himself to think of the glowing wood stove within the clapboard refuge. Once inside, he would use its warmth to thaw his aching flesh before settling under the wool blankets on his bunk. By the time the next lifesaver had left to walk the coastline to look for ships in distress, he would be dry, warm, and asleep. Ethan stopped in his tracks as a fiery streak of orange and red bolted from the waters of the open ocean and then disappeared into the thick, angry clouds above. A moment later, brilliant white spears of light from the rocket's bursting flare stabbed holes through the stormy blackness. A ship had run aground on the Diamond Shoals. The surfman's thoughts of warmth and sleep vanished as rapidly as the glowing ball fell to the sea. The lives of the foundering ship's crew now rested in the hands of Ethan, the station's other 6 surfmen, and their ability to row through the churning waters with all the speed their arms could muster. Sprinting to the station, Ethan darted inside to wake the others. The seasoned rescuers began gearing up without question while Ethan ran back outside to set off a Coston signal on the beach. The ground flare's brilliant light would let the sailors on the shoals know that help was on the way. The race had begun. As Ethan made his way back to the station, the other 6 men gathered in the shed where their surf boat waited on its cart. As one, they pushed the cart over the sand on a path hardened by oyster shells and into the surf until its wheels rolled hub-deep beneath the cold December waters. With the boat now floating free, the lifesavers scrambled aboard, paying no heed to the raging surf around them. Taking his seat at the stern, station keeper Ephraim Jeanette fought with the steering oar, struggling to keep the bow pointing into the oncoming waves. If the wind and current forced the boat off a direct heading, the huge breakers would hit them broadside, turning the rescue attempt into its own disaster. On his cue, the men thrust their oars into the water, pulling together with all their strength. The surfboat surged forward, plowing through the cresting waves. Each breaker brought gallons of frothing water crashing on top of them, shaking the boat to its frame and every man to the bone. Into the darkness they rowed, not knowing how far out to sea their quest would take them. Once past the breakers and into the open, the swells became rolling mountains that shifted into canyons of water. The boat slid down the back of one giant surge after another as the oncoming swell that followed rushed up to hurl them atop the next mountain. With each cresting, the keeper scanned the horizon for the distressed ship. Because his was the only seat facing the bow and the open water, it was up to him to spot the vessel that had signaled for help. Sitting in the foremost seat, Ethan bore the brunt of the pounding more than the others. Waves cresting the bow soaked him with seawater, sending ice-cold jolts of agony through his body. Most lifesavers sought any excuse to avoid the bow seat and the pounding it absorbed from the waves. The Hatteras crew, however, never drew lots or took turns at the bow. Ethan was always at the front when bringing the boat to the surf, and always first to jump in to take the dreaded bow seat. They did not know why, and they never asked. What they did not know was that Ethan welcomed the constant pounding and numbing cold of the water. The unrelenting assault on his hardened body kept his mind free of any thoughts except the pain of the moment. For a few hours, there would be no memories of Cuba or San Juan Hill or the smoldering house to haunt him. There would be no agonizing images of his friend Zeb or the twisted face of the Spanish woman, the Madre. Despite resolving never to acknowledge the matter, deep down he understood that it was those dark memories that kept him from leaving the isolation of the Outer Banks. If he were lucky, this would be the storm to take away the ghosts of his past. If not, the attempt to save the lives of others would provide a few hours of refuge, a reprieve for which he grudgingly gave thanks. Sensing that the lethal nor'easter was at its peak, Ethan wondered whether the keeper would be able to spot their objective through the darkness and rain. The driving wind almost matched their pull on the oars, pushing the little boat back almost as far as they rowed it forward. If not for the warmth created by their exertions, the cold would have been unbearable. As veteran lifesavers, they were no strangers to storm and danger, but neither Ethan or the other surfmen of the Hatteras Station had ever encountered such a relentless combination of cold, wind, and rain as this storm. They would need all their experience and training to survive. Regardless of what befell them, there would be no turning back. The regulations of the lifesaving service required them to attempt the rescue despite the weather or the odds of surviving. Each man was bound by oath to attempt a rescue when they were called, even during hurricanes and bitter nor'easters. After all, what good would lifesavers be if they only came out in fair weather? "Ship ho!" the keeper shouted at last, the wind snatching away his words as they came from his mouth. But the lifesavers did not have to hear their captain's words to know what he was saying. There was but one reason he would be yelling. Ethan turned around long enough to spot the vessel. Light still shining from along its deck meant it was possible the men aboard were still alive. The vastness of the nighttime ocean made it impossible to tell how far away they were. The light could be a single candle or an entire ship on fire. It didn't matter. They were lifesavers, or surfmen, as the locals had come to call them. They had to believe that the sailors on board the ship were waiting and praying for deliverance. The keeper's call to quicken their strokes interrupted Ethan's thoughts, and he pulled on his oar harder to match the pace of the others.